This is Guildcast Episode 6 for December 24th, 2005. Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome back to Guildcast. I'm Sean, and it's been a very busy past couple days since the last episode. We've had the Christmas update come out. We've had a few more updates come out. I've been in contact with a lot of people concerning the podcast, and which I'll talk about a little bit later. Right now, what I wanted to say was I wanted to give a few corrections about last episode. The guild that helped me out last week that I talked about with the initials LOST, I pronounced their name wrong, which doesn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you by now, but actually the way it's pronounced is Legion of Synergy Triumphalism. I think I said Triumphalis or something like that. I think I left the M off, but it's Triumphalism. And again, I wanted to thank those guys. They've been really great to me. And I wanted to say thank you to a few more people in the game. A guy by the name of Slaughter Avenged. That's not Slaughter, it's Slaughter, S-L-O-T-T-E-R, Avenged. We chatted a few times in the game, and he's been real nice to me, real helpful and everything. And we're going to go out and farm some new icy dragon swords up in Mineral Springs together, and he decided he would just give me one. So that was pretty cool of him. So I want to thank him for that icy dragon sword. A few other people I would talk to in the game. I actually started writing down now, so that's good. Old Woodsman, Velvet Fantasy, Warden Chibra, Y-C-H-E-B-R-U-H, I think that's how that's pronounced, I have no clue, Jatoma N, Maglorious Tempest, and Marshall University. Thank you to all of you for saying hi to me in the game. Another exciting contact I got this week, a couple days ago actually, was by a guy named Brant Fitzgerald. He's the prop lead and FX artist at ArenaNet. He emailed me, told me that he listens to the podcast, and he said it's actually the first podcast he's ever listened to, which is quite an honor for me. But he had some kind words for me, and hopefully there's some, I guess I'll say, development in the work, which I am very excited about, and I hope to be able to talk about a little bit later. But we'll see how that goes. I don't want to jinx anything. Also, speaking of the icy dragon sword I talked about earlier, I'm not sure if everyone who listens to this has heard about this, but let me go a little bit more into detail about the whole buzz around the Icy Dragon Sword. What it is it's a max damage blue sword, and it has a perfect damage mod on it, the 15% over 50 health. Plus, the requirement on it is only 9 swordsmanship, so it's pretty much a perfect sword. It's like the fiery dragon swords, except it's icy, and so it causes ice damage, and it glows blue. Well, the thing is, this is a brand new weapon that apparently what happened was ArenaNet put it in the game up in Mineral Springs by the ice caves up there. Toward, if you look on your map, you leave the Granite Citadel and you go up through Mineral Springs, and it's just about on the top of the map in the mountainous region of Mineral Springs. There's a cave there, you go in there, and they have the ice imps, and usually they're the ones that drop the sword. But what it is they were dropping them a lot more, I believe on the 21st, when they first came out, maybe it was the 22nd, a couple days ago. And everybody was getting them. If you go to Granite Citadel right now, you'll see a million people saying, you know, looking for a group to farm IDS. Well, I guess ArenaNet caught wind of this, and they've pretty much nerfed the drops, so they're not dropping as much. And so that's only made these things skyrocket in value. I personally don't think I'm going to sell mine. It's a pretty rare weapon, and I think there's been a lot of speculation about the weapon being completely taken from the game after January. So if you have one, hold on to it. I wouldn't sell it. A lot of people are trying to buy them for 35K, whatever, 40K. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'd hold on to them, because they're not only are they good weapons, they're going to be really rare, and I have a feeling in about a couple weeks. It seems Guild Wars has been winning a lot of awards lately, and I wanted to go through a few of those just to kind of show how popular this game has really become. They won some awards from GameSpy. They won the best MMORPG of the year from GameSpy, one of the top 10 games of the year from GameSpy. Actually, I believe they were number 6. And also the Best Value Award. From IGN, they placed in the Best Persistent World Game category, and they won the Best RPG Award. From Voodoo Extreme, they won awards for being one of the top 5 games of the year, and ArenaNet won an award for the Best New Developer. And just for the record, I know there's a lot of World of Warcraft versus Guild Wars arguments out there, but for all you World of Warcraft diehard fans who come on Guild Wars and tell us all how much World of Warcraft is better than Guild Wars, for the record, World of Warcraft got an honorable mention from GameSpy. Not even ranked in the top 10, they got honorable mention. So I thought I'd rub that in a little bit, you know, add to the friendly competition. Now for the updates. We actually had an update on Tuesday, December 20th. And what it did was it fixed the, there was a little bit of a bug, I guess you could call it, in an axe that was given as a reward for the Scavengers of Ascalon quest. And that axe was found out to be able to accept 2 axe grips. So that, of course, became a big deal. What I've heard from in the forums is what they did was people who had those axes and they had the 2 axe grips on there, it actually, when they updated it, it took both axe grips off. So all you guys out there who, you know, were buying these things for 100k, and you guys really got screwed. Also, another thing on that update was it fixed incendiary bonds so that it deals the correct amount of damage as shown in the skill description. Previously, the amount of damage shown in the skill description updated according to the player's attribute level, but the actual damage dealt did not. And then the big update, the big Christmas update, came Wednesday, December 21st. Now, this was just the first part of the Christmas update. They've been constantly adding to it since then. I've noticed when that update first came out on Wednesday, it wasn't the complete update. It was more like a teaser. And then last night is when everything pretty much happened. Now, on their website, they have a little song on there that's supposed to be sung along to the tune of 12 Days of Christmas. Now, I'm not going to exactly sing it, but I'll speak it. You can go ahead and hum along if you'd like. On the 12th moon of Winter's Day, ArenaNet gave to me blessings from Duena, festive decorations, one mighty snowman, weapons made of candy, gifts that might kill you, snow-covered henchmen, new winter monsters, some really long quests, gifts of drinking dwarves, gingerbread shields, curses from Grenth, and a new way to watch PvP. Now, if you've gone through and done these quests already, you can pretty much pick apart that song and tell what everything's about. The last line of it, a new way to watch PvP, is pretty exciting. A lot of people really enjoy this observer mode. It's basically a way where you can watch the top-ranked guilds fight each other in either the regional playoffs. You can watch them guild battles in the tombs. And I've only played with this a few times, but it seems to be pretty neat. It kind of reminds me, in an offbeat kind of way, of Mystery Science Theater 3000, where you can sit there and you can watch these things go on. The people who are watching make comments about these games as they're watching them. And it's kind of funny because they pick apart everybody. Of course, you'll see the word noob or newbie 400 million times because everybody has something to say about these people who they're watching. But it's pretty interesting, I think. You can change the camera view. You can follow around whoever you want. There's a small map where you can watch the blue and red dots move together. You can click on any of the dots to go to that person, move the camera to that person. And you can set it to auto camera, so it'll automatically go to where the action is. You can turn, you can pan and zoom and all that kind of stuff. So it's really pretty neat. You have a lot of control over watching this game. You can focus on one person. Say, you're a ranger, so you want to watch what this ranger does, what the good rangers do, So you watch this ranger, and you can follow him throughout the whole thing, see what he does. It's really pretty interesting, and it really adds a lot to the game, and it makes it pretty much a new game. And on December 22nd and 23rd, there were 2 more small updates, and basically all they did was they fixed some little features with the observer mode. And on December 23rd, Friday, they fixed a small bug that prevented a PvP-only character from being able to be transported by the Winter's Day Priest. But that was the latest update. Now, a little bit more about this Christmas update. Some other features they've added in there, besides the observer mode, is they've done a lot like if you were around for the Halloween update, they changed Lion's Arch, Ascalon City and Drachner's Forge, where they made it in full Halloween decoration. Well, they've done that again now for Winter's Day decoration, where they have presents everywhere. They have snow on the ground. If you go to Ascalon City, it's covered in snow. They have Christmas trees up where the campfires used to be. They have gingerbread men, those nutcracker soldiers. And most importantly, they have a lot of new collectors where you can get different gifts and different items in the game. So I'll list those items that are new for this Winter's Day update. They have eggnog, which basically makes you drunk, like the dwarven ale does. They have spiked eggnog, which makes you more drunk, and it actually messes you up for quite a while. It's kind of fun. If you have a chance, check that out. They have candy canes, which are used in battle, and what they do is they remove your death penalty. So they also have a snowman summoner, which all that does is basically it drops a snowman randomly, sometimes on his side, sometimes standing straight up, and then he blows up. So that's, you know. And they also have winter gifts, which when you open them up, I believe most of the time they just make like a little explosion, but sometimes they'll give you little gifts, and some of them are pretty cool, some are not so cool. So that's the four items that you can get from collectors. And again, the collectors, they have an Ascalon City, Lion's Arch, Drachner's Forge. I believe there's some in the tombs. And then there's the, if you go around these four cities, actually there's five if you include the Snowball Arena, which I'll talk about in a second. But in all of these areas, they have what are called candy cane smiths, and they'll make you a weapon made out of candy canes. But what you need to do is collect four candy cane shards, take them to the guy, and he'll make you, there's a hammer, there's a sword, there's a bow, staff, wand, and axe. They all do 10 damage, except for the bow and hammer do 15 damage. It's nothing that great, but it's just, you know, the novelty of it all. Some of them actually look kind of cool, like the bow. And like I mentioned earlier, there's the Snowball Fight Arena. Basically what it is it's like when you go in the regular arena and you fight player versus player. This is kind of a spin on that, where it equals out the playing field, pretty much. One side is Duana's side, and the other side is Grunt's side. So it's basically good versus evil. And the way you can reach these snowball arenas is you go, there's one in each of the decorated cities, and you talk to it's mostly priests. They're Winter's Day priests, and it'll say after their name, Snowball Arena, or Snowball Fight is what it says. And once you enter the arena, you'll find that all of your skills have been replaced. I'm not going to go through each skill, because there's different ones for each side. You know, the blue side has slightly different ones, the red side has slightly different ones. Plus, there's profession-specific skills, and I won't get into all those, but the general idea behind these is they're all snow-related or ice-related. And it's like regular skills, where there's adrenaline-based ones, there's hex type things, there's curses, you know, things like that. So it's pretty neat the way they got that set up. And it's, you know, all for fun. But what you do in these snowball fights is you run around and you grab these presents. They drop these presents around. You pick them up and you take them to your team's avatar. And the first team to retrieve 5 presents to your team's avatar wins the match. And you do gain faction for these matches, even though, you know, they're there for fun, but you do actually gain faction for them. So if you get a chance, go ahead and check these out. ArenaNet really spent a lot of time getting these set up, and I think they're pretty neat. And I think my guess is a lot of the stories around this Winter's Day festival seem to center around Duana versus Grenth, as if on Christmas Day there's going to be some kind of big battle between the two. I'm not sure exactly if that's right, but that's just kind of speculation on my part. But these snowball fight arenas seem like they're almost practiced for that. I'm not sure. I guess we'll see tomorrow. Now I'm going to go through these Winter's Day quests. There's 2 of them, and you get both quests from a guy named Old Nicholas. He's in Lion's Arch near the Guild Emblemer. And you talk to him, you get both quests. One is called The Greatest Snowman Ever Made. Again, I'm not going to go through how to do these quests, because it's the part of, you know, ArenaNet spent a long time making these quests, making them challenging. And it's bad enough that everybody in the game is telling each other how to do these things. You know, the fun of these quests is to go out and actually do them yourself. Figure out what they're, you know, what the riddles mean and what they're doing. And it kind of makes it a little bit fun for the players. You know, something a little bit different than the normal killing char and things like that. But this snowman quest, The Greatest Snowman Ever Made, basically what you're doing is you talk to a kid named Scrappy Jim. And he wants you to make a snowman, or help him make a snowman. So you got to collect coal for the eyes, the corn cob pipe, things like that. You basically run back and forth, and at the end you fight humbugs and grenchies. The grenchies are actually pretty cool. They look like little gremlins with Santa hats on. But that's a pretty easy quest, and it's worth 5,000 experience. Plus you get the gingerbread shield and a gingerbread man focus item. Then the second Winter's Day quest is called A Very Grenchy Winter's Day. This one is kind of the grunt quest. But you go around and you collect certain items, just like the first quest. This time it's things like termites and gunk and garlic and old socks. And you run around and you collect these things from certain cities around Crida. Then at the end there's a fight. And the reward for this one, again, is 5,000 experience. Plus you get a peppermint shield and the gingerbread focus item again. So if you haven't done it already, go ahead and check these quests out. Check out the Snowball Fight Arena. Check out the collectors with the different gifts that they give out. And enjoy all the hard work and time that Arena put into this Winter's Day update. And now for the scam warning segment. Earlier I talked about the icy dragon swords, and with any kind of item fad like this in Guild Wars, there's always going to be people taking advantage. And I wanted to let people know about the scams that people are pulling concerning these icy dragon swords. Apparently what can happen is you can take a fairly worthless fiery dragon sword and you can dye it blue with blue dye, and in the icon of the dragon sword it'll appear to look close enough to the icy dragon sword where it can pass off as that. So if you go to buy one of these from someone, make sure you put your mouse over it, just like you should always do. Check out, make sure it says icy dragon sword, make sure that it's max damage, 15 to 22 damage, make sure that it's ice damage, make sure the requirement is 9 swordsmanship, and make sure that it has the damage mod of plus 15% with health over 50, because that's the only icy dragon sword out there. If it's anything else, then it's some kind of modded scam thing, you know. So look out for that. Now, I know I mentioned last episode that I wanted to do an overview of the basics of the game in this episode. Well, what I've decided to do instead is each episode I'm going to do a segment on the basics of the game, where I'm going to talk a little bit about certain basics, because there are so many things to this game. I started writing down notes, and it got so overwhelming thinking of all the different things that new people need to learn about, that what I'm going to do is I'm just going to add a little segment, just like the scam warning segment, just a little segment of basics, where you can, if you're new to the game, they should help you out a lot. Even if you're not so new to the game, where you've been playing for a couple months or whatever, hopefully some of these things will be things that you didn't even think about or didn't even know about before. But this time, in this episode, what I wanted to talk about was the terminology of the game. I know a lot of times people don't understand the terminology, but I got a little guide from gamershell.com, and I'm going to put a link to that on the site. And they have a little beginner's guide that I've gotten this from, and it's really helpful for things you might see in the chat channel and you might not know what it means. So I'm going to start out with a few terms, such as aggro. Aggro is, it's the range at which an enemy monster will move to attack you. You look in your little circular map interface, and in the middle of that is your dot, which is you, and then around that is kind of a light white circle around that, and that's your aggro area. If an enemy enters that white circle, then he will see you and he'll attack you. So when people say don't aggro, it means don't let the enemy get into that little circle. You can actually do a lot by avoiding aggro, by going around enemies and making sure they don't enter that circle. And that can really help you out a lot. Another one is UW. If you see UW, it's the abbreviation for the underworld. You can get to the underworld from a few different areas, one of the most popular ones being the Temple of the Ages. And going hand in hand with that is FOW. If you see that, FOW is the abbreviation for Fissure of Woe. And that's another area, just like the underworld, where people basically get all the good gold drops. AOE, that's Area of Effect. And that has a lot to do with elementalist spells, such as Firestorm, where the spell works in a certain area instead of one specific enemy. Now, a lot of times you'll see abbreviations in the trade channel, such as WTB, which stands for Want to Buy, WTS stands for Want to Sell, WTT stands for Want to Trade. This is, like I said, basically for the trade channel, for people who want to buy and sell items, materials or whatever. Now, if you go in a lot of the cities and if you see LFG, that stands for looking for group, that's usually used if a single person is looking for a group of other people to go out and quest with, or GLF is group looking for, which most of the times that's followed by healing monk. People are always looking for healing monks. Also, you might see PUG, which stands for pickup group. That's usually in reference to PvP areas, the player versus player areas. HOH is the Hall of Heroes. If you see that, that's the final stage in the Primeval Tombs. DOT stands for damage over time, which has to do with a lot of mesmer and necro spells. DPS is damage per second. Nerf is an action taken by the developers. Usually that has a lot to do with when the developers take out a part of the game that people have been able to exploit, such as the Icy Dragon Sword drops. Also, a few terms you might see that might confuse new people is some of the nicknames that people give to professions, such as tank. A tank is basically a warrior monk. Not always a warrior monk, but mostly a warrior monk. Tank's job is basically to act as a wall and a damage absorption. You might also see the word nuker, which stands for a fire elementalist, mostly. An echo nuker, which would be an elementalist mesmer with that skill, arcane echo. You might see MM Necro, which is a minion master, and he has all the minion spells that can create minions from the corpses in the area. Also, you might see, if you ever see 55 Monk, if someone brags about being a 55 Monk, and what that basically is in a nutshell is it's a monk that has taken his maximum health down far enough through the use of superior monk runes and the offhand item, such as the one you get from the Cities of Ascalon quest, that will bring his health, his maximum health, down to 55. And you might be thinking, why is that good? Well, there's a spell, and it escapes my memory right now. I'm sure I'll get a million emails about it, but there's two protection spells where you can't receive more than 5% damage and 10% damage. So if you had this spell, this enchantment on you, to where you can't receive more than 10% damage, and your maximum health is only 55, then you can't receive more than 5 damage. So if you have that enchantment on you, nothing can hit you for more than 5 damage. So that's pretty much what they also refer to as the Invincimonk. Some other terminology you might see, farming, which I've already said a few times, I believe, but farming is basically going in, usually solo, and just killing things that you know will give good drops. Like there's Griffin farming, there's Underworld farming, there's Sorrow's Furnace farming, where a character will just go through and fight for the main purpose of getting gold and good drop items. And now I'm sure there's more terminology that I've been skipping. This is kind of a general guide of what new people might see in the game, most likely. Well, I think I've talked long enough this time. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. But for my next episode, I'll be talking more about what happened on the actual Winter's Day. Can't wait to see what ArenaNet has in store for us. So I'll be talking about that, as well as more of the same segments I've done today. Be sure to check out the new fan fiction I've included on the site, as well as others I might add in the meantime. And the way things have been going lately, I'm sure I'll have a lot more to talk about in the next episode also. And as always, I encourage anyone to contact me, either in the game, with my characters Walmart Special, Priestess Julie, and BBQ Ribs, or you can email me at sean@guildcast.com. Check out the website at www.guildcast.com. You can call the audio comment line at 1-206-666-GWEN, which is 4936. And until next time, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com. And happy holidays to all.